McCartney's music has not developed in any one direction over time. Instead, it resembles a kind of unwinding spiral, achieving an ever wider circumference. Born on the 18th of June, 1942, Paul McCartney emerged before the days of rock and roll. He was formed in a world that has utterly vanished now, and which was hastened on its way by the Beatles themselves. He came of age in the aftermath of the Second World War, one of the biggest disruptions in human history. All minds were now fixed on a modern world, and the less it resembled the past, the better. Nothing could be learned by looking backward, or so it felt at the time. Paul could be every inch the teenage rebel that his generation specialised in producing, but he was never, in his heart, an iconoclast. That's a contradiction that has persisted throughout his music, and it's the source of some critics' contempt for what he did. But it's really one key to his greatness. He's among the last of that dwindling number who are not fundamentally shaped by rock, because they already had some musical understanding before it reached their ears. But this book is not all about the Beatles. I once mentioned to McCartney how writers tend to compress the decades of his life after 1970 into a desultory postscript. Paul replied,
"Now you mention it, you can see it. I've met enough journalists having to get articles that are winners to know the game. He was a Beatle. That's basically the game. Any book on John Lennon, they do the same. They condense the Yoko period. Oh, yeah, peace chants, they wore funny hats and sunglasses, and he was militant, wasn't he? It compresses fairly easily. But I like it, in a way. It's the same about music I've written in that period, because I think it's undiscovered. It's really been blanked. No, he didn't write anything since the Beatles. Once you start to look, I mean, commercially, there definitely are things that outsold anything the Beatles did. Like Mull of Kintyre. But critically, I don't think people would consider that. Although an awful lot of people liked it, so who am I?"
It's not that he's embarrassed by the Beatles, even if their legacy dogged his early solo years. In all my interviews, I found he'd bring them up more often than I did.
"I used to say to my kids, you're the only ones who never ask me about the Beatles. I used to wish their friends would come round and say, what was it like being in the Beatles? Well, let me tell you. And the kids would all go out the room, oh, bloody hell. That's how kids are. They don't want to hear about that shit. But their friends would, so I'd chunter on. Oh, it's funny you should say that. An hour later..."
The trap is that the Beatles make us skimp the great music he's made in his 45 solo years. In this book, I want to correct that imbalance. Paul said to me that his career will one day be seen in its totality. I like to think that day has arrived.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Hodderpod. For more from Hodder and Stoughton's books and authors, find us on iTunes or visit www.soundcloud.com/hodderbooks, where you can listen and subscribe.